Good morning. Good morning. Welcome. So excited to have everyone here as we gather together to worship the Lord. Today we have the opportunity to worship Him through His Word, learning it, receiving it. We have the opportunity to worship Him through music and song, and we have the opportunity to worship Him through fellowship together. If you're a guest here today, you picked a great Sunday to come visit because it's lunch on the lawn. It might end up being lunch on the linoleum with the weather, so we're still going to have food. It's going to be in the cafe after the service. We'll talk to you more about that then, too. But stay, hang out, connect with each other, fellowship, and spend some time with each other. Also, if you're a guest here this morning in the foyer, there is a Welcome Center booth. Stop by after the service. We want to meet you. We'd like to get to know you. We also want to give you a gift. There's a gift bag. In there is a Starbucks gift card. And it is pumpkin spice season, so definitely stop by and get that. You'll notice on your program also, it's not too late if you're a gentleman to sign up for the men's retreat. It's happening later this month at Camp of the Woods. So there's some more details in the program. You can sign up in the hallway as well. Ladies, in the program, there's also some details about groups that are starting up soon. So you can find out some more information there. If you're looking to connect, you're looking to grow in your understanding of the Word. Join with me this morning as we gather together to worship Him through prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are a God who's worthy of worship. Lord, we thank You that You're big. And You were, You are, You will be. Every single thing that happens is under constant control and under Your power. Lord, we thank You that You are mighty and strong and patient and kind and gentle. Father, we thank You that You're not distant. You're not far off. You come near to us. You made Yourself a man. You walked the earth, You suffered, You were hungry, You were tired. We thank You for Your Son, Jesus, who died. He didn't deserve it, and He died for people who didn't deserve it. And Father, I'm thankful for this opportunity today that those undeserving people get to gather together and worship Him together. Lord, we thank You that You've given us each other. We're thankful for this body of believers, Lord, that You tell us in Your Word that the entire world will know that we know You by how we love and how we interact with each other. And so, Lord, I pray that for Your church family this morning, how they read and listen and receive Your Word, how they sing and praise You today, how they stand in line for sandwiches after, Lord, every single thing that they do, that the flavor, the takeaway, the impression that would be left is that of love. And that people would realize and see that that's different, that something is different with these people, with how they treat each other. So Lord, help us to love each other well. Help us to worship You well. And Lord, we need Your help. We need Your help. There's some here, including myself, who had hectic mornings, who are distracted, who come from a busy week, maybe a hard week, whose minds are thinking about what's going to happen this afternoon or the conversations they're going to have or the people they're going to see. Maybe people feel uncomfortable or awkward or worried about the week or things they've got going on in their life. And so, Father, right now I just pray You would help all of us, help me, to take a deep breath and to be present with You, Lord, so that we can worship You together as a family. And in Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Welcome. Would you please stand and sing with us? God is so good. He's so good to us. He's so kind to us. And His kindness to us is the only reason that we're here together. And He's kind to us, and He loves us not because we're lovable, but because He is just, that's who He is. He is love. And we call that grace. So we're going to sing some simple songs this morning about God's grace and just ask you to sing along with us and worship in any way you feel comfortable.
Grace, how sweet the sound that saves. time, but now I see my chains are gone. I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious is that grace would be the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secure.
Your grace that leads the sinner home from death to life forever, and sings the song of righteousness by blood and not by men. Your grace that reaches far and wide to every tribe and nation has called my heart to enter in the joy of your salvation. By grace I am redeemed. By grace I am.
Jesus, we thank you that we can come and we can sing to you, and Lord, not trying to come to you and prove to you how good we are or that we deserve your help, Lord, but we come admitting we don't deserve your help and that we're not at our core good, but that you are and that we need you. So, Lord, we're going to open the Bible, and we ask you, God, would you please help us to understand what we're reading? Help us to see you through the words that you speak to us, and, Lord, that we would meet you this morning and hear you, and that we would be changed. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? So again, welcome to Lunch on the Lawn Inside Edition. This morning we're gonna spend some time, before we have lunch, we're gonna spend some time in the Bible, and we're gonna look at Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Psalms are right there in the middle. You're looking for the big 23, chapter 23. The passage is also on your program on the right-hand side if you wanna follow along there. Now, if you've been with us the last couple weeks, you might be thinking, wait a second, we were in a different book. We weren't in the Psalms. Why are we doing Psalm 23 instead of the other book we're doing? Well, because it's so good. Because Psalm 23 is so good. And, you know, we did Psalms. We walked through the Psalms this summer. And so this is maybe a little bit like the Psalms doing a curtain call. You know, like they're coming out for an encore. Psalm 23 is so good. And chances are, if you don't recognize, like, just that phrase, Psalm 23, that you're going to recognize this when we read it. You've probably seen this on plaques, maybe. I think we have it on the wall somewhere in the building here. We have in our home, as you're going out our front door from our living room, right above the door, we have this little wooden plaque that says the first line of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd." It's such a well-known psalm, such a well-known passage. You've probably heard it at a funeral. If you've been at a funeral, you've probably heard this read. You may have heard this read at the graveside of somebody that you love. But it's not just for funerals. Psalm 23 is not just for funerals. I've had one surgery in my life where I had to go like under anesthesia. And it wasn't major. I just broke a bone, needed some pins. But I was like, I was a super fraidy cat. I was really nervous about going under anesthesia. And it was this psalm. As much as I couldn't remember all of it, but what I could remember of, I was just going over and over in my head. You know, as I was getting ready for a surgery, it was kind of a sudden thing. And they're wheeling me in for surgery. And I'm going over this psalm in my mind because I needed to remind my heart that the Lord was going to take care of me. The Lord, if he's our shepherd, what that means is that he's going to take care of us, that he's going to take care of you. And so you might not be facing death, but maybe you are. Maybe someone listening online or maybe someone here this morning knows that their time is short. You might not be facing surgery. Maybe you are. But probably all of us are going through something that we need to pause and remember that the Lord is going to take care of us. That if he's our shepherd, that he's going to take care of us, whatever we're walking through. So let's read Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord will take care of you. If the Lord's your shepherd, the Lord is going to take care of you. This first line, the Lord is my shepherd, probably the most well-known line of this psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, there probably not a lot of shepherds in the room this morning. In your life, there's probably not a lot of shepherds that you know. But in the Bible, there's a lot of shepherds. There's a lot of shepherds in the Bible, like everywhere. Some of the biggest names in the Bible were shepherds. Abraham, if you've heard of him, he was a shepherd. His son Isaac, he was a shepherd. His son Jacob, he was a shepherd. God's people, when they went into Egypt, they were known as shepherds. That was their occupation. Moses was a shepherd. David, who wrote this, was a shepherd. They took care of sheep. There's a lot of shepherds in the Bible, but not just shepherds that took care of sheep, but shepherds that took care of people. That was one of God's pictures of the leaders that he appointed to take care of his people. He categorized them as shepherds, told them to take care of his people, the judges. There was this group for about 400 years before they had kings. There was judges that were to protect and take care of God's people, and God referred to them as shepherds. The kings, all of those years and the different kings that Israel had, they were referred to as shepherds. The priests were referred to as shepherds. David, who wrote this psalm, he knew all about being a shepherd. He had taken care of sheep. He was a king, and he was taking care of God's people. And it's David who turns then, and he says to God, he says, God, Lord, you are my shepherd. You are the one who's taking care of me. And so as we look at what he says here, there's three confident statements that David makes. There's three sections in this psalm, three paragraphs, so to speak, and there's three confident statements he makes. Here's the first one. You see that in verse 1? He says, I shall not want. The passage itself is going to kind of act as our outline this morning. First thing he says is, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, I shall not want. Some translations, maybe yours, says, I shall not be in want. Now, we have to be careful here, because what David is not saying, he's not saying, God gives me whatever I want. He's not saying, God is a genie. I just tell him what I want, and presto, he gives it to me. That's not the idea here. He doesn't call God his genie. He calls God his shepherd. The idea of that phrase is, the Lord gives me what I need. The Lord gives me what I need when I need it, so that I don't lack anything that I need. Now, sheep don't always know what they need. Sheep don't always know what they need. That's why they need a shepherd. Sometimes sheep think it's a really good idea to go over this direction by themselves. Sometimes sheep look at the grass on the other side of the fence, right? And they think the grass looks greener on the other side. I should go over there. Sometimes the sheep think they know what they need, but they don't always know what they need. The shepherd knows what they need. And a good shepherd of sheep has sheep that don't lack anything. They have what they need when they need it, because God takes care of them. So what does the Lord provide for David? What does he say in these next couple verses? In verse 2, listen to what he says. He says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. There's still that kind of imagery. We're in poetry here, so don't be confused. David doesn't literally think he's a sheep. He's painting a picture that God treats me like that. He takes care of me. The picture here is that God, the Lord provides his basic needs. This green pastures and still waters, what that's pointing to is the sheep, they have enough to eat and they have water to drink. See, the shepherd doesn't just lead the sheep to green pastures so they can eat, but the picture here is the sheep is lying down because he's had enough to eat. You're never going to see a sheep on his belly on the ground laying down eating grass. See, the sheep eats standing up, and so the picture of him laying down means that he's had plenty, that the shepherd has led him there, and he has enough food, and he's content, and he's laying down. He leads him next to still waters, not raging waters, not white water, not water where he could fall in and drown, or he can't quite get to the water, so he's right next to this raging stream, but he's still thirsty because he can't drink. That's not the picture. That the Lord leads him, the shepherd leads the sheep, so that the sheep has enough food, and the sheep has water, and he's good. He has what he needs. Maybe this morning, there's some of us who are not quite sure how we're going to make ends meet. that we're not quite sure how we're going to pay the bills next month. Now, probably not everybody is thinking that, but there's probably some of us that are thinking that. That just the basics of like electricity and how am I going to make rent, and I'm in between jobs, and we're worried. And if the Lord's your shepherd this morning, you may need to hear that he's going to take care of you. He's going to take care of you. Jesus said it this way later on in Matthew 6. Jesus said, your Father knows what you need. Don't worry about food or clothes or the basics, the necessities. The Father, he knows what you need. He's going to take care of you. Now, certainly there's things like work and a job and saving and budgeting and debt that we need to take care of, all of those things that we need to address. And certainly Jesus, with that, he says, seek first my kingdom, put me first, keep your eyes on me, follow me. But as we do those things, we can trust that Jesus is going to provide, that the Lord is going to provide for you. He's your shepherd. There's another thing that the Lord provides here in verse 3. He says, he restores my soul. David says, he restores my soul. This word restores, it means to bring something back. It means to return it to where it should be, to restore it. That's a big part of what a shepherd does. Because sheep, they don't have a good sense of direction, and they just kind of wander off in different directions. And a lot of times, from what I hear, the shepherd has to go and restore the sheep to the group, to bring it back, to return it to where it should be. And that's what David says the Lord had done and did for him, that he restored his soul. Maybe this morning your soul feels dry and your soul feels disconnected. Maybe the Lord's your shepherd. And as you look back, there's maybe been times where you were like right on the Lord's heels. I mean, you were close to him and you were following him and you were listening to him. But something happened, maybe something caught your eye, or it looked good over there, or you decided that you wanted to go this direction, and you turned around, and it just seemed like the shepherd was so far away. And you seemed like, and it felt like you're alone, and maybe that's the way you feel like this morning. And here's the truth, that if the Lord's your shepherd, he specializes in restoration. He seeks after us. He brings us back. He doesn't wait for us to restore ourselves. Did you see what David said? He, the Lord, restores my soul. He brings me back. He comes and gets me and brings me back to himself. Now, sometimes, I don't know if you've ever heard, have you ever heard a sheep like bleat like that? That high-pitched, just like really loud, really annoying bleat. And sometimes as a sheep gets off by itself and it gets scared, and it may bleat and like call out and in panic. That may be what you need to do this morning. If your soul is dry and you feel disconnected, you feel distant from the Lord, you may have to just bleat out and call out and cry out and say, Lord, I don't know where I'm at. Please come and get me and bring me back. Restore my soul. I love Psalm 61. It says it this way. It says, Lord, when my heart is overwhelmed, when my heart is faint, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the... Do you hear the psalmist saying something similar to David here? See, sometimes we can't lead ourselves back. We don't know the way. We don't have the strength. Sometimes, frankly, we don't have the desire. But the psalmist says, Lord, would you please lead me back? Would you please come get me? Would you please restore my soul? There's one more thing in this first section. David says that he has everything he needs because, this last line of verse 3, he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Another key job of a shepherd is leading the sheep. Leading the sheep. To help the sheep go the direction that's best for them, to help the sheep go in the right direction. There's a couple qualifications here to these paths that the shepherd leads the sheep down. Did you see that? He leads me in paths of righteousness. He says, the Lord leads me down the right paths. The Lord's the one that decides, you know, what's right and what's wrong. And that lines up with who God is, with his character. That lines up with what he's told us in his word. And you know, the Lord is never going to lead us in ways that go against his character. He's never going to lead us in ways that go against what he's told us in his word. That he's going to lead us in those right paths. And then he says, their paths, he leads me, the shepherd does, for his name's sake. See, the Lord doesn't exist for our sake. The Lord doesn't exist to just make our lives happy. The Lord doesn't exist for us. We exist for him. We didn't make him. He made us. Over and over, the Bible says, you know, we are his people. We're the sheep of his pasture. We belong to him. And he has purposes for us. And sometimes we get locked into our own purposes for us. But see, the Lord, the good shepherd, what he does is he leads us not just down the right paths, but he leads us down the paths that line up with his purposes, that make him look good. Now, the shepherd loves the sheep. We have a shepherd, the Lord, who loves us. But at the end of the day, it's not about us. It's about him. And the Lord lovingly guides his sheep for his own purposes. Maybe there are paths that you know that you should be going down, that you know are right. You know what decision the Lord would want you to make. Or you know that decision wasn't the decision the Lord wanted you to make, that you know the situation or the relationship isn't the path that the Lord would have you take. You know that, and yet you've gone down that path. See, if the Lord is your shepherd, part of that is that we follow him, that we yield to him, that we trust that he loves us, that we trust that he's good, and we say, Lord, okay, I'm going to go down your path. Even as I brought that up, I wonder if something specific came in your mind. Like, was there something that came up and you thought, ooh, yeah, that. I think that might be what I've done or what I'm doing is I'm going a different direction. I know that the shepherd's looking this way and pointing this way, but I'm going this way. Listen, this morning, if that's the case, if you can think something very specific, can I encourage you that the Lord, the good shepherd, is leading you down a right and a good path. Yield to him. Just yield to him. Maybe that means a phone call this afternoon. Maybe that means a conversation you need to have. Maybe that means something you need to walk back and backtrack and change and go back down the path and take the path that the Lord would have you take. The Lord provides what we need and he leads us in good, right paths for his purposes. There's a second, pretty bold statement that David makes, that we can make, if the Lord is our shepherd. In verse 4, in the second section, look what he says, I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Now, we've moved here in this second section from, like, just take note of this. We've moved from green pastures and quiet waters, like you're picturing probably Ireland and a nice quiet stream. We've moved from that to where? What does it say? The valley of the shadow of death. We're in a different spot in this psalm. The sheep is in a different spot. And so for David to say, I shall not fear, it doesn't seem to fit. I mean, there's a lot of things for a sheep to fear. In a dark, this phrase, shadow, valley of the shadow of death, it can be translated darkest valley. Don't just think death. Now, death certainly fits into that, but dark valley. like the darkest valley. This is a sheep, and he's going from one meadow to the other. Maybe he's in like a ravine, a stream bed. He's in a valley. We know it's dark. There's a lot of things to be afraid of if you're a sheep in a dark valley. There's rocks you could trip on, cliffs you could walk off of. There's things lurking in the shadows like lions and bears and wolves and other predators. There's thieves, like robbers that may be in there just waiting to grab you and take you over to their what do you call sheep, flock, fold. There's a lot of things to be afraid of. There's a lot of evil. David says, I will fear no evil. And the idea of this word is not just bad people, but just bad things, tough things, hard things in those darkest valleys. Now, we're not sheep, but we're like sheep in a lot of ways. And one of those ways is sometimes we have dark valleys, don't we? Sometimes things can get gloomy. Things can get scary. And sometimes there's a lot of reasons to be afraid. Things like cancer. Health issues. Maybe the doctors can't diagnose, but they keep you from leaving the house. Depression. Burnout. Not knowing where it comes from, but just feel like you can't function. Sudden loss of a loved one. They end up in the ICU, and the next morning you hear they're gone. Broken families. Children that have gone astray. A feeling of being betrayed. Personal attacks. Those are just from conversations I've had with people in the last 7 days. Life's full of dark valleys. It just is. So how in the world can we say with David, even if the Lord is our shepherd, I will fear no evil, when there's so much to be afraid of? Look at the next thing David says, verse 4. Right after he says, I will fear no evil, he says, for you are with me. That word for there, it means because. What David's saying, this is the reason I can be in this valley and there can be all of these things to be afraid of and that I can be confident. This is why, because you are with me, Lord. Now, this phrase, you are with me, it's really, it's at the epicenter of this psalm. In many ways, it's the center point of this psalm. In fact, if you just look at it on your page, in your Bible or on your program, that phrase is right in the middle, isn't it? Looks like it's right in the middle of that psalm. In the original language, what's amazing is there's exactly 26 words before this phrase and exactly 26 words after this phrase. Now, in poetry, that's a clue that what's right in the middle is what David wants us to see. He's putting it on a platter, and he's putting it right in front of us, and he's saying, this is how the Lord's going to take care of you. You know how the Lord's going to take care of you? It's not primarily by what he gives you. It's not primarily by taking you out really quick of the dark valley. It's not primarily from keeping you out of the dark valleys totally. You know how the Lord's going to take care of you? Primarily, it's by being with you. That his presence, even though you can't see him, and even though you may not hear him with your ears, that if he's your shepherd, he's with you. And he is what you need. More than anything else, he's what you need. Heard a pastor say this week that, you know, in the dark valley, we're not looking for souvenirs. There's not a lot in the dark valley that we want to take with us. When we're in those times, we want to leave it all behind. We don't want anything to do with that dark valley. But we have to remember, if the Lord's our shepherd, he's with us right there in that dark valley. That he's with us all over, hundreds of times, watch for it in the years to come. Hundreds of times the Bible says, God says to us, do not fear. Do not fear. And if we're not careful, we can read that and go, oh, it kind of sounds like my high school like basketball coach just saying, suck it up and keep going. Don't be afraid. But see, the hundreds of times that God says that, right after it, watch for it, he does exactly what David says here. He says, don't be afraid because I'm with you. See, God is not the coach that sends you out and just says, do it. Go for it. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. He says, no, I'm going with you. I'm going with you. I'm going to be with you, and I will give you what you need. I am what you need. The Lord is our portion. The psalmist says, you are all I have, Lord. You're all I have. Who in heaven do I have besides you, Lord? Who on earth do I desire besides you? Lord, you're all I have, and if I have you, that's all I need. Maybe that's what you need to hear this morning. I know that it doesn't feel like it sometimes in those dark valleys. You might not be having it right now, but in 2 months you might be in a dark valley and it may not feel like the Lord is with you. But listen, the Bible says, God says to you, absorb this into your soul for the future. The Lord is with you in those dark valleys. Just because it's dark doesn't mean he's left you. If he's your shepherd, he never leaves you. There's something in here as well with this middle phrase, you are with me. Do you see how David refers to the Lord before that phrase? Verse 2, he leads me, he makes me. Verse 3, he restores me, he leads me. He's referring to God in third person, he, him, his. But do you see in this phrase right in the middle of verse 3 when he says that God is with him, how does he say it? He shifts. Do you see the focus shift here? He doesn't say, he's with me. He says, you are with me. Your rod, not his rod, your rod and your staff. Do you see that David starts to talk very personally to God? Not just about God, but to God. Listen, there's a picture there sometimes that it's in those darkest valleys that we grow the most in understanding who God is. And that we grow the most in our intimacy and in our relationship and in our awareness that God is with me. See, we can know that fact. We can tell other people, God is with you. But when it's dark in our life, sometimes it's in those darkest moments that our heart is most convinced, most needs it, and is most convinced that no, I knew the fact, but now I know the truth that he is with me. That we can grow. And the Lord can help us to grow in a very personal knowledge of who God is as we experience his presence in trials. David says here, see, David's not saying that, hey, when you go through tough times, the Lord sees you. He's observing. He's tagging along. Like he knows what's going on. No, see, it's not just that he's observing, that the Lord is actively working. Look what he says at the end of verse 4. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The shepherd's got weapons, right? He's got a rod and he's got a staff. He's not just standing there watching in that dark valley. He's guarding. He's protecting. He's ready to pull out that club and protect you from a bear, protect you from a lion, protect you from enemies. He's ready to pull that staff, this long staff that he carries around, and even pull you back, and even use it to rescue you, even use it to prod you in a certain direction, to use it to protect you from enemies. See, the Lord isn't just there, and that can help our souls, but the Lord is working, and he's on guard, and he's standing with you in the darkest valleys, even if you don't feel it. The Lord is taking care of you. There's a third bold statement that David makes that we can make if the Lord's our shepherd. And it's at the end of this last section, this third section, in verse 6. He says, I shall dwell. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord. But he starts in verse 5 by talking about this banquet. Now we've shifted again. Right? It's like these scene changes. We've shifted from a dark valley the darkest valley, we've shifted from that to a banquet room. So we've kind of shifted pictures from a shepherd to a feast. And he says, how does the Lord take care of us? What's this a picture of? In verse 5, it says, you prepare a table before me. That's a picture of a lot of food. A lot of food on the table. It's a feast. He says, you anoint my head with oil. We say, well, what's that? Back then, what that would have been is olive oil. Like, you cook with olive oil. But they would take it, and that they would also put some spices in it. And a lot of times it would be expensive, and it would smell, they thought, really good. And when you had a guest to a banquet, one of the ways you honored them, one of the ways you refreshed them, remember, they didn't take baths every day. And so sometimes things got a little smelly, a little sweaty. One of the ways you honored and refreshed your guest was by taking this many times expensive oil and pouring it on their head. And it would run down, and it would get on the clothes, and we think, ooh, yuck, what a mess. But for them, that was a blessing. That was a sign of honoring. That was like putting a medal around their neck. It smelled good. It's a picture of the Lord and how he treats us. That if he's your shepherd, he looks to refresh you. He looks to even, it's amazing because it's not about us, but he even looks to honor us, to bless us. He says, my cup overflows. So at this feast, you know, things aren't being rationed. There's a lot of food and the cup is like spilling over. And it's the idea of, do you need more? Do you need more? Do you have enough? And there's just like, whoa, it's like, there's just an abundance. This is an extravagant feast. And what we need to see, who is putting on this feast? Who's doing the cooking? Who's doing the serving? Who's preparing this feast? In verse 5, he says, you, the Lord. Can you picture that? The Lord preparing the feast for his sheep. So think White House dinner. Okay, like a big spread, White House dinner. I went to the White House once. It wasn't for dinner. It was for a tour. Right? So you take a tour. We didn't eat. We were kind of told specifically where to go, you know, in certain spots of the White House. We got to the back door. I didn't really realize it was the end. We walked out the back door, and I was like, oh, there was another room I wanted to see. So I turned around to go back in, and there was a man in a uniform with a machine gun. Seriously. He stepped between me and the door, and he says, you're not going back in. And I said, okay. And that was it, my time in the White House. See, if you're going to go to dinner at the White House, you don't just get a ticket for a tour. Like, you have to be invited. You have to be a head of state. You have to win the Super Bowl to have dinner. You have to be somebody to have dinner at the White House. And it's a big spread. It's a big spread, depending on who's there. I mean, they have multiple chefs, right? Key, like, top-tier chefs cooking. Big spread, and I'm sure that cups overflow, and they're not, like, rationing out how much, that they probably have a lot of leftovers, don't know what they do with them, but the president never cooks, and he never serves the meal. And I was curious. I said, surely. And we've had a lot of presidents, right? Some one of these presidents had to have cooked and said, hey, I want to do this tonight. And I, from what I saw, I couldn't find, there was one time when Eisenhower tried to teach Winston Churchill how to grill hot dogs. And the story is it didn't turn out so good. Too much chili sauce or something, seasoning. Presidents don't prepare the table for even top-tier guests. But here's the picture of verse 5. Do you see the picture here? This is like way better than dinner at the White House. And it's someone way higher up on the ladder than the President of the United States. It's the Lord. He's not just the shepherd. He prepares a table. He takes the oil. He pours it on your head. He fills your cup over and over and over. There's a generosity here that's pictured. There's a nourishment here. There's an extravagant grace that we've sung about this morning here. And do you see, it's not just a one-time thing. Do you see that in these verses? This is not just a one-time thing. It's like, wow, I had dinner with the Lord, and I'll never forget it, and I'll always remember it, and it was a great one-time experience. That's not what he's saying, because you see the next phrase? He says, surely, it's not going to be a one-time thing. He says, surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you see that? The goodness and mercy of me being at the meal. I'm not a head of state. You know, you're not a head of state. We didn't win the Super Bowl. We haven't been really good. We haven't done everything God's told us to do. We haven't been perfect sheep that have always, you know, stayed right behind the shepherd. We haven't done any of that. And yet, not only is there not a guard with a machine gun at the back door, the Lord invites us through the front door to his feast. And he says, stay. Dwell. Dwell with me. I will be your God. I will give you strength when you're weak. I will be with you in the darkest valley. I will help you. I will guide you when you don't know where to go. And I'll keep doing it all the days of your life. If the Lord's your shepherd, that's the picture. That the Lord nourishes, he cares, he's generous, he's extravagant, he gives us his grace. He's a good shepherd. And he keeps doing it. But it's not just all the days of our life here. Do you see this last phrase? He goes eternal here. He goes to infinity and beyond, right? In this last phrase, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. We don't wait. We don't have to wait to experience the goodness of God if the Lord is our shepherd. But it doesn't stop. It just gets better. That we'll dwell at that feast. It's pictured as a feast forever with the Lord. This generous, good shepherd. Maybe this morning, you know, you might, maybe at this point you're thinking, Kevin, you keep saying, if the Lord is your shepherd. What do you mean, if the Lord is your shepherd? How does that work? How does the Lord become my shepherd? How do I know if I am one of his sheep? This phrase of the Lord is my shepherd, picturing God as a shepherd, it doesn't stop at Psalm 23. It's not the only place. This idea of shepherd is all the way through the Bible. And one of the places we see it is in John 10. I'm going to read you a few verses. Now, this is out of the mouth of Jesus. Listen to what Jesus says. Remember Psalm 23, but listen to what Jesus says. He says in John 10, this is verse 11, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. So ultimately, who is the Lord that can be our shepherd? Jesus. Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. Hey, the shepherd that David was talking about, that's me. I'm the good shepherd. Listen to what he says. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. That's crazy. Shepherds don't die for sheep. I mean, they love the sheep. They want to rescue the sheep. They don't want their sheep to die. You know, that's not good for the flock. That's not good for income. That's not good for, you know, the wool quota that they need. But shepherds, I mean, they're going to fight the bear, but what comes down to it, you know, if it's the sheep's life or my life, they're going to go with their life. That doesn't happen. The shepherd is way more valuable than the sheep. But you see what happens here? Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. And this is how I show you that I'm good. I lay down my life for the sheep. The Bible says that we're all like sheep in a lot of ways. One of the ways is we all wander. Every single one of us. We've all gone our own way. But the Lord has laid on Jesus our sin. That when Jesus died, he didn't die because he had gone astray. He never did. He died because we had gone astray. He laid down his life for the sheep. The judgment that we deserve for doing our own thing, going our way, own way, leading our own life, taking our own paths. The judgment we deserve, Jesus took. He laid his life down for us. How the Lord becomes your shepherd is by acknowledging and believing that you need one, and that you need a good shepherd, and you need a shepherd that would be willing to lay down his life for you. Jesus has. Jesus says earlier in chapter 10, he says, the sheep hear his voice, hear the good shepherd's voice. And he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And when he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them. He walks in front of them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Is the good shepherd calling you by name this morning? Is he calling you by name in this season of your life? Are you hearing these words that we're reading and that we're looking at as not just words from a page or words that a man is sharing from up here? Are you hearing them as God speaking to you? Is he calling you by name? There's two questions for you. Do you believe that you need a shepherd to lay his life down for you? Do you believe that Jesus is that good shepherd, that you need forgiveness, and that Jesus provided it? Do you believe that? Second question, will you follow him? So Jesus says, my sheep follow me. Part of the Lord being our shepherd is that he leads us and we follow. Are you willing to surrender? Are you willing to follow? Are you willing to put on the shelf your agenda and yield it to the agenda and the purposes of God and the paths of God? Are you willing to turn and follow the good shepherd? If you're willing to do, if you're willing to do those two things, to believe in Jesus and to follow him, I want to ask you to do two things. First, tell Jesus. Just tell Jesus that. He's a good shepherd. He loves that when people come to him and say, Lord, I believe in you, I'll follow you. Forgive me once and for all, I'll follow you once and for all. Tell Jesus. And then I'm going to ask you to do a second thing. Tell somebody else. Tell somebody else. Maybe it's the person you came with this morning. Say, like, I want the Lord to be my shepherd. I know there's nothing I can do to make that happen, but Jesus has done it. And I believe, and I'm willing to yield. Tell somebody else after you tell Jesus. I want to read one more passage. This is in Revelation. We're going to follow this all the way to the end. The last place in the Bible that talks about a shepherd. Listen to what Revelation said. This is Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. Revelation chapter 7, verse 15. Now this is another description of how David says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That these are the sheep of the good shepherd. This is the description of that. Listen to what Revelation says. Therefore, they, the sheep, are before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, in his house. Psalm 23 says. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more. They shall thirst no more. Kind of sounds like green pastures and quiet streams, doesn't it? The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne, the shepherd who's become a lamb to save the sheep, for the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, and he will be their shepherd. He will be their shepherd. And he will guide them to springs of living water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. If the Lord is your shepherd, that's your future. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for taking such good care of us. Thank you for taking care of us at the cross, taking care of our biggest need, our wandering, our stubbornness, our going our own way. Thank you for laying your life down for us and inviting us through the front door to a feast, inviting us through Jesus and what he's done to the feast, the grace that we can experience now and that we'll experience forever. Lord, I pray for those who are in dark valleys right now. I pray for those who will be in dark valleys soon. Lord, that these would be truths that linger and encourage. And even when they don't feel true, even when we don't feel the reality of them, that we would hang on to them and know that you are with us. Thank you for being a good shepherd. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing one more song of thanks before we leave. My life laid down, I'm surrendered.